15th and the 16th, and then the rededication on the 17th.
I didn't start this till now.
Kind of neat seeing all these events play out.
Yeah, it's very... We got to got front line seats, don't we, if we're paying attention?
I got a question. And I don't pay attention to a lot of things outside my little world, but where is the Strait of
Hormuz? Yeah, no, that's a good question. If we go back to the Persian one... So the Strait of Hormuz is in, I believe it's in the Persian Gulf here, up toward the front.
To the right, right under that bar.
Okay, yeah, right there. Yeah, right? Yeah. And but I think it's still 20 miles across or so. I mean, you can't quite see across it. But that is where all the... ships are kind of being detained, and we've got our, you know, USA is kind of monitoring the flow of traffic through there. So it seemed kind of masterful that, you know, initially the Iranians said, we're just going to cut off flow. We're going to hold up the Strait of Hormuz, you know, if America doesn't meet our commands. And they're like, okay, well, in that case, then we're going to block the Strait of Hormuz. So we kind of turned the tables on them, and we... So anyway, it's kind of put... They called it a black swan. I don't know if you heard that name, but it's just causing a ripple effect throughout the world. I heard even in the Philippines, they've had to limit the days that their workforce works, and... I don't know if it's because of fuel issues that it's kind of shutting down a lot of things. You know, it doesn't affect you and I too much, except the gas pumps. But anyway, no, that's a good question, because it's definitely in the news. Now, one thing I thought I would bring out while we're here, and I was kind of shocked to read this, and I'll just put it up here. What do you see on your handout at the bottom of the little statue? The left side talks about the feet of iron and clay, but the right side says the European Union. I think we got that little picture from the guy that wrote Dispensational Truth, Clarence Larkham. And so that's where we got that. And so that was his best. He lived late 1800s, early 1900s. And so he kind of believed that there would be some kind of European Union that might form this 10-nation confederacy. And let me give you a quote from one of the founders. I think this guy, Henry Spake, I think he helped form the European Union, and he says this. He says, what we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the alliances of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, be he God or devil, we will receive him. That's quite a statement, isn't it?
It's true, probably.
And I think he died in the 70s, but the top says he was the UN Secretary General, and at the bottom it says he was the NATO Secretary General. I'm not sure which he was, but when I read a little bit about him, he is like the European Union. He helped put that together. So anyway, a little bit of information, but let's get into Revelation 18 some. We see another angel... announced that Babylon is fallen. And then in verse 3, it makes this statement. It says that all nations... It says that in verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And so all nations are involved in whatever this Babylon mystery religion, Babylon being a city. And then this teaching point here is from Brian. And Brian writes this. He says, "We don't know if the destruction of this city is Revelation, or in Revelation 18 will happen in rebuilt Babylon, which is the original location of Nebuchadnezzar and the home of Nimrod, or will it take place in modern Rome, the home of the harlot that is fornicating with the kings of the earth and making the peoples of the world drunk with her pagan religion, religious and economic system." And so I thought that was pretty good. And the other teaching point is we do know that these two prophecies will be accomplished. In talking about Babylon, it says in Isaiah 13, "It will never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. And there shall take of thee, and they shall..." So Jeremiah 51 says, "And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever." So that is the prophecy that we believe that the Bible teaches. Whatever Babylon is destroyed here that falls, it will not be inhabited anymore. So now we get to kind of new material. In verse 4, can somebody read verse 4 for us?
"And I heard another voice from heaven say, Come up here, my people, that ye be not partakers of his sins, and that ye receive not of his plagues."
Yeah. And so God, this angel, is calling for his people, for God's people to come out of her, come out of Babylon, this system. Don't be partakers of her sins, because otherwise you'll receive the plagues that were meant for her upon God's people. So that's pretty good advice about, you know, Christians. So I do believe that doctrinally it's talking about Jews. If you look in the Bible, the Jews are called God's people many times. And you know, even from down in Egypt, God calls Moses to bring out my people, it says. And so I think as far as the tribulation period, you know, there's a time where the Jews are supposed to leave Jerusalem and flee to the mountains. So they're commanded, and there's some element of truth that Jerusalem could be this Babylon, because the Antichrist is going to make Jerusalem desolate. He is the abomination that maketh desolate. And so Jerusalem will be desolate, but not forever. So even that don't quite fit all the way. And on your back of your handout here at the top, there's some very similar things in Daniel, as well as with Paul. But it makes me think of Genesis 19 with Lot. You remember when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he brought Lot and his family out before the destruction. You remember that? And it says some very similar things as what Revelation is saying. And it even says in Luke 17, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So this is similar, the things that happened there with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, God destroyed Sodom, and the angel told Lot to bring them out of this place and get you out of this place. So very similar things. But now I keyed on another word there, this word partakers. I want you to think about that word there. And I gave you the reference there on your handout. Can somebody read that? I'm going to get a drink of water. The 1 Timothy 5 verse. So I want you to think about this. Whenever they did the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, let's say, I'm going to use Julie. Let's say Julie goes on the Sabbath day or whenever she takes her offering to the Lord and she brings up this goat for this offering and the priest is going to burn it, I think Julie would have to lay her hand on the goat while the priest, you know, cuts its throat or whatever. And that's kind of, hopefully I said all that right. I'm not 100% sure, but what it represents is that this innocent goat is going to be sacrificed for the guilty sinner. The animal's innocent, Julie's guilty, but by her laying her hand on it, it's symbolic of her like transferring her sin to that animal. And so some of you remembered when I was ordained here to become a pastor, the other pastors laid their hands on me. You've heard of that. And that's what that verse is saying, is lay hands on no man like... let's use TJ for an example right now. TJ would probably not be allowed to be a coach of our soccer team if he hasn't had some measure of faithfulness, right? In essence, we're laying our hand, we're saying, you know, TJ, you're going to represent Heartland Baptist Fellowship, and we want you to share the Word of God with these young people and coach them in this sports activity. So we're not actually laying our hands on him, but in a way we are. We're endorsing him. He's representing this church and the Lord, and he's taking it seriously. But it says not to, like, if this was your second week here, we would probably not make you a coach, would we? Right? So that's what it's saying. Lay hands on no man suddenly. Like, you know, if you're unproven, if we don't know you, I mean, we don't even know if you're saved, if, you know, you've got three girlfriends around the country, or, you know, we don't know you yet, but, and so, especially when someone becomes a pastor, they can't be a novice. So there's some measure of proving all along the way. And so that's what God is saying to his people that are in this world system or whatever this Babylon is. He, like, come out of her. Because you know what our thinking is like, we think we can change whatever it is we're involved in. We think, well, you know, if I don't keep going to the bar with my friends, they're going to think I don't like it. I can change it. I'm going to keep going to the bar to help my friends, right? Well, the best thing you can do for your friends is come out of that and, you know, make some kind of stand. You know, I don't want to partake in that anymore. You need to come out of there, Christian brother or sister, and so that you're not partakers in that sin. And otherwise, you're going to get drunk too, and you'll be in the car wreck too, and you'll be partakers of the plagues that's coming on that person or those people, right? So anyway, I wanted to highlight that just a little bit today. And somebody read verse 5 for us. There's a statement in there that's pretty profound. Genesis 18:5.
For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities.
Yeah, it says that her sins have reached unto heaven. Do you know that's the exact same thing that Nimrod and the people that built the Tower of Babel, they said, let us build this tower that reach unto heaven. We want our tower to... So their tower didn't reach unto heaven, but their sins did. And it's this same Babylon. It's kind of eerie. And I was reading Brian's notes this week, and Nebuchadnezzar says the same thing in Daniel. I gave you the verse there, 4:11, like the Babylonian Empire was like a tree whose branches reached unto heaven. And so, anyway, I thought that was interesting. So I underlined it on your handout. And then in verse 6, can somebody read verse 6 for us?
Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, keep her double.
Yeah, so it mentions double there several times. And I'll see what you guys think about this. I kind of batted this around a little bit. I heard a guy say it, so... Let's see. And you know we don't look at the Greek very much, but here in Revelation 18:6, where it says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double. This word double, if you click on that, I mean, it's not surprising. It means to double. And that's the only time it's mentioned, but I guess this diplo, it would be like saying, well, are any of you in here a twin? Does anybody in here have a twin? Nobody? Let's say Megan had a twin, and her twin sitting next to her, it would be like, that's her double. Like, that's her duplo. Or because someone was saying, you know how God always... His sense of justice always fits the crime. His sense of... So is he going to make her sins twice as bad for what she did? Or is it just going to be fitting? It's like, we're going to duplicate, as bad as your sin was, we're going to duplicate that and reward you that. So anyway, those are things that when I hear, I kind of roll around, and I'm not sure. Maybe she does deserve twice as much bad as she did for all that she did bad. I don't know, but it's kind of interesting. And
so what if this? Okay. So what if I've done good, but my twin has done bad?
Well, she will be rewarded the bad.
Okay. Oh, wait, so that's so confusing.
You're answerable for you.
Okay.
And you're right. Well, this woman, this system is so wicked. It says that God's going to reward the people in it like double. But in essence, what we're saying is He's going to make the punishment fit the crime, the sin that she did. That's a good thought. And then read verse 7. You got that over there, Jaime? Verse 7?
Yep. Sure. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I see a queen, and I'm not... I'm no widow, and shall see no sorrow.
Yeah, so this, the lady that's being punished, you can tell she's very prideful. She glorified herself, and she's lived deliciously, or very lavishly, very luxurious. And the angel's saying, give her so much torment and sorrow, for she said in her heart, I'm a queen, I'm not a widow, and she's not going to see any sorrow. And so you can see there's several verses in Proverbs I should have probably put on here, just, you know, that God knows our heart and He ponders our heart, and man does this, but God knows our heart. And so He knows her heart, and she thinks she's the queen, like, you know, I don't know if it's a cartoon, says, I'm the king of the world. Well, this lady's saying, I'm the queen of the world. You know, no bad's going to come to me. I am so powerful. I've got all these kings that are on my side. And it's this whole system that's built up. And so when it falls, it's very tragic. And you wouldn't think it would fall, but it does. And it even says she's no widow. And, you know, in our country, I'm sure in any country, it's difficult to be a widow. You know, we think of that, the funeral of the Ortiz recently, the lady that's got two or three kids and she's pregnant with another and her husband just died. So she's a widow and she's going to need help. But it's even worse in other countries. It's very shameful. And, you know, that's why the, you know, Pradeep, and we didn't pray for this morning, but I did get the pastor's got a message from Brian that, you know, there's more persecution in India. It's about, there's some family that's, you know, they're having to live on a mountain, like, with no electric, no food, and so they're being persecuted, and they were, had their land taken from them, their house burned, and different things. So anyway, we need to pray for them. But that's why Pradeep and even Ganesh have started some orphanages. So some mothers, they can't, they're so destitute, they can't live on their own. And some husbands won't marry them unless they don't have children. You know, children are like baggage. So some mothers abandon their children. And so Pradeep has taken in children that were like out in the woods eating dead animals. Just kids are like left to themselves out in the nature because their mom couldn't afford to have them. She wanted to get married again and couldn't have the kids with them. The husband wouldn't take them. So anyway, that's how these orphanages got started. It's horrible. And anyway, so he like finds them out there eating dead animals and trash out of the trash cans, and he takes them to the orphanage. And then I found this verse in the Old Testament from Isaiah 45. It says, "Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans." So that's Babylon. "For thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. And thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it." And so I had you put just the word lady in your blank. But that's quite a title, isn't it? The Lady of Kingdoms. And so that's a reference to Babylon here, the Lady of Kingdoms. And she is very boastful. And she says, I'm going to be a lady forever. And that's what Revelation is saying here. I'm a queen and I'm never going to see sorrow. I'm not going to be a widow. And so then in verse 8, somebody else want to read verse 8? Pam, you haven't read yet today, have you?
No. "Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her."
Yep, so, and I'm trying to think. This is kind of a modern term, but you know, right now we're celebrating a lot of graduations this month, especially the last 2 weeks of the month. But so you could almost say it's graduation season, And so I think of, I mean, I don't know if Babylon is literally going to be destroyed in one day, because it even says something about in 1 hour. You know, you can almost think about the Olympic. The Olympics come around once every 4 years, but it's for like 2 month season, right? So I guess that's how I look at this in Babylon. You know, is it going to be an earthquake? Maybe. Is it going to be atomic warfare? Maybe. But whatever destruction happens here, and it's more than likely the earthquake, but it happens quickly. And it says, it names these plagues here: the death, the mourning, the famine. And she's going to be burned with fire, so I listed those on there. And so, just in the time remaining, do you like this little pictures on your handout?
Yeah.
It's that's actually in some of our recovery material. And we put a lot of work into that a long time ago, and I just remembered it this week. So I didn't make that up just this week, but I did help with it a few years ago. And we kind of got the way of the world versus the way of escape. So I had you put escape in your blank. And it... I think we'll try to end with this verse here. I mean, you see the little image of the riches, the guy that's, the Bible actually calls money uncertain riches. And then you got the people that seek after being famous and, you know, having rather be all, you know, a million followers on your Facebook or whatever. And in highlight, it's got me. That's this lady here, right? She, maybe all of these are her, this Babylonian lady, because she is rich, she is famous, she is powerful. You got the guy with the big biceps there. And then pleasure, we represented with the wine and alcohol. You could maybe have other things there for pleasure. And our way of escape is the cross of Christ. That we kneel at the cross, we cast all our care upon Him, we know He cares for us. And then we walk with the Lord. The verse right below all those pictures says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." And before I read the rest of that, think about that a minute. Think about what you struggle with. And you know the Bible's saying right there that there's no temptation that you have, but other people have that same one. It's common to, you think that only I am going through this terrible thing, or only I am tempted. And we find that out in our recovery group as we confess to one another our troubles and ask for help. Inevitably, other people are like, you know, I struggle with that too. That's me. So whatever we struggle with, it's common. So the Bible's saying that, you know, the devil has that same carrot that's familiar to a lot of people. It says, but God is faithful, and who will not suffer. That means like allow. He will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so look for that way of escape when you're tempted, whether it be, you know, boy, I want to drink a beer, a cold beer, sure sounds good. No, I'm a Christian. That's going to affect my judgment. You know, Lord, help me right now, you know, not to go down that aisle at the store or whatever, you know. And one of our guys kind of got victory over smoking cigarettes. Just he would purposely not walk down the aisle of the convenience store that sold cigarettes, which I think they're behind the counter now. But anyway, whatever it is, I know a story of a guy that struggled with pornography, and he had to walk on his way to work. There was a magazine store, and not so long ago, pornography was more in magazines, right? And so he just purposed to walk on the other side of the street and just quote Matthew 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." He wanted to keep his heart pure. So sometimes, whatever that way of escape is, God has it for you. And it's through Him. Amen. So let's hold up there, and I didn't quite get all this taped. I think I got all the images that I wanted to show you, but thank you for being here, and we will. I may try to finish the chapter because we'll meet next week in class, and then we'll be off for 2 weeks. So I may try to get all the way through chapter 18 next week. We'll see. But Emma, would you care to pray for us today, and we'll dismiss.
Father, we just thank you for this time.